Following a 19-7 loss to the Detroit Lions on Sunday, the Green Bay Packers fell to 1-2 on the season with major questions surrounding the play of Aaron Rodgers in the offense. To find out what's going on, we have Greg Motzek, host of Packers OT on the Packers Radio Network, joining us on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking about a Packers loss on Sunday to the Detroit Lions. To do that, we have Greg Motzek, host of the Packers OT on the Packers Radio Network, joining us. Mr. Motzek, how are you doing this morning?
Well, it looks you're talking about a Packers win, but nonetheless, good football Sunday, otherwise considered.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us following a Packers loss. Not always the easiest of topics to talk about, but I want to start with Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Motzek. He appears to be going through somewhat of a difficult start to the season. Do you place the blame with him? Do you place it with the play calling, offensive line, receivers? What's going on with this Packers offense?
It's collectively a little out of sync right now, and I think that's understandable against a team like Seattle, where your windows are so small, and you're not expecting a lot of separation, and the goal is to just get rid of the ball as quickly as possible and hit on some of those timing routes. And, you know, really, aside of the, you know, two-minute drive, the 97-yard drive toward the end of the second quarter against the Jets and what they were able to do in the second half, been a little sluggish, and we've seen Rodgers miss his targets a little bit. The timing between he and receivers hasn't always been there. There hasn't always been separation. In fact, you look at the Jets game in particular, Jordy Nelson wasn't open on every one of those throws that went his way, but you know, you like the one-on-one matchup, so Rodgers tried to exploit it. Yeah, I think there's an expectation with Rodgers that he'll just make receivers better. And at this point of the game, you can't say that's the case for Jared Boykin. And I understand rookie Devontae Adams is just that, a rookie. I think he's going to have a bright future. But it might be 8 weeks into the season before we really see what he's all about. So until that happens, it's going to be kind of sluggish going from that number three spot and beyond. You don't have James Jones anymore. And they're really missing JerMichael Finley. A lot of people wanted to get on him last year, and understandably so at times, but there are very few people like him in the NFL. So the number of weapons Rodgers has at his disposal that he trusts and relies on, it's a smaller number than it was in years past.
I don't mean to intimate that Aaron Rodgers is the worst quarterback in the NFL, far from it, but I think his play, you know, through three games has been adequate, average maybe. I'm trying to think of a time that Aaron Rodgers has ever maybe bore this much criticism. I mean, can you think of a time over the course of his career where he's been maybe under this much pressure through maybe three games or any three-game stretch?
Regular season, probably not. Now they're 1-2 with a division loss, and that's obviously not where you want to be. Still a couple of great opportunities here with Chicago and Minnesota, but for the Packers to be a playoff team, Aaron Rodgers has to play at an elite level. Just look at the talent on the team. He has to play at an elite level. And if he's not playing at an elite level, you just start ticking off the wins. If he's average, the team will be average to below average. It's just kind of where we stand. And it's the draft pick that Ted Thompson really hit on. There's a few others that are sprinkled around the team. But otherwise, it's a pretty good team, but Rodgers makes them a playoff team. And if he's playing at an average level or below, it's not a playoff team. So he has to be elite for them to move on.
The play calling yesterday, I think, probably didn't help matters. Hasn't really, found a rhythm, I would say, through three games this year. What can Mike McCarthy do to help? Or, we can add in offensive coordinator Tom Clements as well. But what can they do from a game plan play calling standpoint to help?
Well, I think you've seen it in the 2-minute offense. You saw it against the Jets. That 97-yard drive was great, brilliant, and ended up with a touchdown before the half. You've seen it in 8-9 play drives that were against the Lions, but you figured there'd be more opportunities, and they were only able to cash in on one. Remember, Rodgers took a sack, forcing him out of field goal range, and that negated a drive. And there's another opportunity that fell short as well. So you have to cash in on those opportunities, and all of a sudden everything looks a little bit better. But Rodgers is the last line of defense, too. And Mike McCarthy calls a play, but if Rodgers doesn't like what he sees, he can make that change at the line of scrimmage. So you can't put it all on Mike McCarthy, in my opinion. Not every call is going to work. We understand that. We don't expect people to bat 1,000. But if Rodgers gets to the line, McCarthy makes the call, Rodgers looks around and he likes that call, he goes with it. Otherwise, he's got freedom to change. So collectively, something is just off. And as I'm watching games back, I'm not seeing much separation from the receivers. And if that's going to continue to be the case, teams are going to stack the box to take the runaway. And that's clearly what the Jets did in Week 2. It's what Seattle did in Week 1, daring them to throw the ball. And the Lions, that's their point of attack. That's their strength. That's the line of scrimmage. So you figured the opportunity to pass would be there against the Lions team that just brought people in literally off the street to play defensive back. And they were able to keep Packers receivers under control.
You kind of hinted at this just a moment or two ago, that kind of Rodgers only trusting Jordy Nelson and very few others in the Packers offense from receiving threats. Do you have confidence that somebody's going to emerge outside of Jordy Nelson and maybe Randall Cobb that Aaron Rodgers can go to on a consistent basis later this season?
Well, later this season, if I had to guess, I'd say Davante Adams would overtake Jarrett Boykin as a number three. But again, it's a rookie. And I think we put a lot of pressure on rookies to perform, especially if you're drafted in one of the top three rounds. So I think there's some signs there that he's going to be a good player. But remember, Jordy Nelson's rookie year, it wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire. I mean, it takes time. It really does take time. So, but the surprise to me maybe is more so Ben Randall Cobb. His ability out of the slot, It hasn't really been exploited. It's been a little bit slow going, I think, for Cobb, as a lot of attention has been put toward Jordy Nelson. But as Jordy Nelson sees double teams moving forward, if they think he's the only threat, the only guy they have to take away, it's got to open the door for other receivers, and that's where guys need to step up. There was some miscommunication yesterday with Rodgers and Adams near the goal line. He had a drop by Boykin in that game. He had a drop by Cobb in that game as well. So when the opportunities are there, guys need to take advantage. And at this juncture, Jordy Nelson is the only one who's taking advantage.
We're talking to Greg Motzek of the Packers Radio Network here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Greg, has the slow start of running back Eddie Lacy caught you by surprise at all?
Yes and no. Yes, in that I thought he'd be have a greater impact on the offense, regardless of his ability to crack off 10, 15, 20-yard runs. And what we saw the Jets do is honor the Packers' running game by stacking so many guys up on the box, trying to make the Packers throw. Look, you're not going to run wild when defenses play up front like that. So I understand. And I didn't expect a great day against the Seahawks. I expected a few pop plays, and that's about it from the running game. And that's kind of what we saw. But I thought there'd be more opportunity against the Lions because I just didn't think the Lions would be able to stop the Packers' passing attack. So given that, I thought we'd see a lot of points on the board. I thought Lacy would find freedom to run. He didn't run very well against the Lions on Thanksgiving, but again, Matt Flynn was quarterback, not Aaron Rodgers. The first matchup in Green Bay, I think it was Week 3 of last year, Lacy ran for 100 yards. So he's done it before against the Lions. It just wasn't there yesterday. I think Lacy's going to be fine. I'm not worried about him. I think it's a little bit more of what the opponent brought to the table versus what Lacy's capable of doing. The fumble is uncharacteristic. Yesterday's fumble, he hadn't fumbled since Week 1 of his rookie season. So I wouldn't label him as a fumbler, but it came at a bad time, that's for sure. It set the Packers back a little bit. So they do need to get him going, get a good rhythm, a good lather. He's got to be around 20 carries, be involved in the passing game a little bit so you have that balance that we saw last year.
It seemed to be a little bit yesterday that the Packers' troubles were flip-flopped in that the offense, which is traditionally under Mike McCarthy been good, they struggled. And then the offense, which, basically since Super Bowl of 2010, they've been the unit that struggled. They played good yesterday. I mean, did that catch you by surprise?
Yeah, a nice performance. I think anytime you hold the Lions to, 10 points, which is what the defense did, I think you like your chances. I mean, there's the Lions defense that put up the additional points in that game. So that's kind of the frustrating part. That was the difference in the game, in my opinion. But, sometimes I think Dom Capers drafts up a scheme that's a little bit too elaborate, a little bit too much of players rotating in and out. And, he's trying to outsmart the other team. And it just doesn't always go right. You wonder how much is in the heads of the players when they're on the field versus just, reacting to the play that's in front of them. I think yesterday what you saw was kind of an interesting lineup. It was like a 2-5 sort of lineup, but Peppers came to the line with his hand on the ground, making perhaps best use of his ability to rush the passer. We saw an impact play from Peppers yesterday in the red zone. That was huge with a strip sack and fumble recovery of Matthew Stafford. So I'll be curious to see if they stick with something like that to try and get the most out of their players. But they have a good secondary. They had adequate pressure on the football and the ball carries yesterday, especially Stafford. Two sacks they were credited with. They heard some other throws. Still think they lack an impact player at the inside linebacker position. But overall, it was a better performance by the defense.
Yeah, I thought the pressure they put on Matthew Stafford was very good yesterday. It was unfortunate they only got two sacks, but they seemed to, hurry him, harass him a little bit more. Do you see that continuing with the Packers over the course of, the next 16 game, well, however many week 14 left, 15, 13 left?
Yeah, guys, I'm not concerned about are guys like Mike Daniels. I'm not concerned about him. Peppers is going to make his plays, and he's going to go quiet for a little bit. And then with Clay, you need him to be healthy. I mean, those three, they're going to command the attention. And then you're hoping, again, for a guy like Dayton Jones just to make a step forward from his rookie season and a guy like Mike Neal to continue ascending. I thought he had a pretty decent year last year when he was playing kind of a hybrid position with outside linebacker and on the line. So, I think they do miss B.J. Raji for depth and his ability to plug things up. I think Guyon's still working his way into football shape. He's not going to be a sack guy anyway. But what you saw is they have the ability. They've got some talent to do it. But I don't care who's in the defensive backfield. You could have a secondary full of, Charles Woodson and Ronnie Lotz. But if you don't get pressure on the quarterback, you're not going to be able to cover people in the receiving core. So that's where I think the Packers have to, really, it's really incumbent upon them to get to the quarterback. And then, against a team like the Lions, they're not as worried about guys in space like you would be against a team like the Eagles. So those teams, I think, are going to still give the Packers problems as they commit to a pass rush and then guys leak out in space. They've proven vulnerable to that, I think, in years past.
Do you have any concern that we're seeing a trend with Clay Matthews on the sideline nursing some sort of injury? In the past it's been a hamstring and the thumb last year, and he's got a new injury yesterday. Are you concerned this is a growing trend?
I was concerned after his third year. This is a problem. It really is. I mean, I don't know what the full issue was yesterday, but the hamstring has been a lingering issue for the bulk of his career, and the thumb issue last year, which, the thumb injury came when he was making his sack. It's kind of a freak play, but they need him on the field. There just aren't many players that you have to identify where they are on the field in the Packers defense. They don't have that much talent. Without him on the field, I mean, it's taking the pressure off. Think about last year. I think it was week three. Lions came to Green Bay right before the game. Calvin Johnson was announced as an inactive. Well, it changed the whole complexity of that game, and the Packers rolled to a victory. So it's a lot different with Clay on the field than it is off. I mean, he's off the field. It's noticeable. The pass rush is not coming from all areas. You're not pointing to where 52 is. He's a true impact player. He plays incredibly well against the run when he's in there. So, yeah, They need him on the field. No ifs, ands, or buts. He's got to play.
Greg, I appreciate all the time with you. Just briefly, before we let you go here, I mean, I think our listeners know you, of course, from your what you do with the Packers Radio Network, host of Packers OT. Could you maybe just tell us maybe what it's like in a day to work for the Packers Radio Network and getting ready for that post-game show and maybe your day in a nutshell a little bit?
Yeah, Sundays are, it kind of depends where they play. So if it's a home game, I'll shoot up to Green Bay in the morning and just kind of get ready that way. I'll write a blog or two for WTMJ.com, just, you know, things I'm looking for the game, some kind of profile of the matchup, something like that. And then when the game time starts, I'm kind of positioned outside of the press box. I'm in the control room area where all these cameras are and the camera monitors are, and people are yelling back and forth, take camera this, take camera that, don't show the replay, show the replay. And then next to the PA voice, Bill Jarts. The reason I sit in there is because if you're ever at Lambeau and we do highlights from other games around the NFL, I do a script read for those highlights, and then I shoot down and do some halftime hosting as well. But otherwise, it's a lot of note taking. It's a handful of tweeting, you know, and trying to keep up with as much things as I possibly can. And really, when I tweet, it's not so much, I guess it is as much to notify people who are following me what's going on, but it's also a way that I can remind myself what happened. So when I'm doing the post-game show, I can kind of reference my notes via the Twitter world. And then really, it's a caller-driven show. We want to hear from the fans and the people who paid attention to the game and followed this team and what they think are the, you know, the high points and low points of a given week. So we really turn it over to them, and I kind of play traffic cop with Mark Tauscher and John Mino, and we have a good time together. Yesterday was a bit of a rough show, full 3 hours, but we did get through it, and my sense was the Packers fans are a little frustrated, but they're not overly worried just yet.
Well, you do a great job from what you do with the Packers Radio Network to your in-stadium responsibilities and what you do with 620 WTMJ. You've got a lot on your plate, Greg, and you do a good job at it. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you joining us on the show this morning, taking a little time and talk to us. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Brian. Anytime you need me.
All right. Take care. Greg Motzek of the Packers Radio Network here on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning as we kind of recap a loss to the Detroit Lions 19-7 on Sunday. Packers falling to 1-2 on the season. Their first of two consecutive road games, heading to Chicago this upcoming week. And the first of three consecutive games within the division, the game after that is the Packers host the Vikings on a Thursday night, a critical stretch of games. You can imagine how momentum can shift wildly depending on what happens really with this next game against the Chicago Bears. I don't think the Packers starting 1-2 is cause for anybody to hit the panic button, especially when you're considering the losses have come against two of the better teams in the NFL. I think everybody knew the Seahawks would be good. I think people are starting to find out how good the Lions are now. I mean, they've been okay under the past few years. I think they are really starting to emerge. Especially if they can get healthy on the defensive side of the football, although it's amazing how well they played, considering all the injury situations in the secondary, and you know, losing Steven Tulloch there, they're starting inside linebacker early in the game and relying on a lot of backups and things like that. The larger point being here, I think the Detroit Lions are a good team. Can you imagine if the Packers were to lose next week against the Bears and you start 1-3, then you become, but I don't think the season's over, but you have major concerns then. Should the Packers win on the road against Chicago, they even their record back to 500, and then you come back home after that, then you start feeling pretty good. It's just amazing how much, you know, can swing in 1 week's time based upon what happens next week against the Chicago Bears. It's going to be incredibly interesting. to see how the next game plays out, but the rest of the season as well. Yesterday it was the struggles of the Packers offense that really hurt the team. Like I said, surprisingly, this has traditionally been a very good offensive team under Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, whereas the past couple seasons, it's been the defense that struggled and that kind of flip-flopped yesterday. But going to the offense here, and you wonder about, Aaron Rodgers, you're concerned about him. I've never seen this stretch here where he's, maybe you've seen a poor game from Aaron Rodgers in the past, but for pretty much three consecutive games here, with the exception of maybe, a half against the New York Jets, it hasn't really been Aaron Rodgers' year so far. Which is, it's just uncharacteristic. You're just surprised to see it. I mean, he's normally been the best quarterback in the NFL, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's just middling average right now. And Mike McCarthy takes at least part of the blame as the Packers play caller. There just seems to be no rhythm right now, no consistency. And I threw out this thought on Twitter yesterday. I wonder how much of it is there, running to set up the pass almost to a fault early this season. The Packers see they have Eddie Lacy, the reigning rookie of the year, the best running back they've had in Green Bay in a long, long time. And although Eddie Lacy is getting off to a slow start, I don't foresee long-term problems with Eddie Lacy. I think he'll get things turned around. But the Packers see this talent and they want to establish the run. And obviously they hope that all of a sudden, they run Eddie Lacy. And when you got James Starks spelling him, who's a pretty darn good number two running back in his own right, all of a sudden that's going to open up a play action pass deep down the field. But it seems like there is almost like to a fault establishing the run right now, where it's just run, 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 run. And then, you start having a punt or two and you're just all of a sudden, a quarter's passed you by and you haven't scored. Let's get real here. This is still a team that should very much be able to butter its bread with the passing game. And even though it may not have the weapons it once had when you had Greg Jennings and Donald Driver and James Jones and JerMichael Finley, those guys are gone. But, you've still got Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, who are two very good talents in their own right. Hopefully you've got some emerging players in Davante Adams and Brandon Bostic and Richard Rodgers, although we haven't really seen them emerge yet. Regardless, Aaron Rodgers is the type of quarterback who should make those kind of players better. Let's start airing it out in the first quarter, first drive of the game. There's no reason you can't take a nice long downfield throw to Jordy Nelson the first drive of the game and really get a defense on its heels right away. It seems like, they established this run, and you get in third and short, and then they're just playing to get 1 yard, and even though they're passing, it's some little dinky out route or something like that. Let's open up this thing. Let's get out the keys and take this offense for a joyride. That's what I see so far through three games that I'm really struggling with, that I'm having a hard time, grasping right now. Why are there this amount of struggles on the Packers offense when there should be more happening here that should be doing better? Is Aaron Rodgers has been operating this offense for years at a very high level. Why is it struggling to this extent early on here in the 2014 season? Okay, so that's kind of my thoughts on the Packers offense. The silver lining, if you will, is that the Packers defense played surprisingly well. And I was surprised with the consistency of pressure they got on Matthew Stafford, who seems like he was harassed, especially in the first half. But I mean, all game long from different players, different directions, you know, especially, you know, I think Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews, say what you will about Clay Matthews' longevity, but I think those guys got regular pressure on Matthew Stafford, Mike Neal as well, to a lesser extent, the defensive linemen like Dayton Jones and Mike Daniels, but, you know, still getting pressure on Matthew Stafford. You know, that came as a very pleasant surprise, the consistency of pressure they were putting on him. And when you do that, it makes it easy for the Packers secondary, who I thought, by and large, played well. Sam Shields gave up the long 50-yard-plus pass or so. Tremont Williams had a couple penalties. But, I thought for the most part, you know, you take one play away from Sam Shields, he played well. You take away penalties from Tremont Williams, he played well. And I think Devon House is really having his best season yet. You know, getting the call as the Packers' tallest cornerback to line up across from Megatron, from Calvin Johnson, and limiting the damage. They didn't stop Calvin Johnson cold, but they kept him out of the end zone. Devon House comes up with a nice interception, helps track the ball, tips a ball that leads to HaHa Clinton Dix's interception, which kudos to the Packers for ending the safety interception drought. Glad to see that all done. You know, it's good to see the Packers defense playing so well against an explosive offense that I expected would do even more against these Packers. I mean, maybe they're starting to figure things out, how this 4-3 is going to work and how the rotations are going to work and so many players lining up from different spots on the field, whether it's, you know, Julius Peppers on the right side or the left side or Mike Neal at linebacker or defensive line. You know, there's so many moving parts, and it seems like they're figuring it out there and doing well. And hopefully this is the sign of things to come with this defense. And hopefully Clay Matthews, it wasn't his hamstring issue yesterday. I forget what it was, and maybe somebody can remind me here on the live blog what that exact issue was with Clay Matthews. I mean, you got to see him out there consistently playing, you know, 95% of the downs. I understand if Clay Matthews gets a little bit of a breather here and there, but he's got to be a three-down player and play 95%+ of the time. That's the way it's got to be. I mean, he's that talented. He's got to be out there. And I think when you pair him with Julius Peppers and Mike Neal and all these guys and groin. Chistradamus on the live blog tells us it's a groin injury that Clay Matthews is dealing with. But you get all these guys rushing the quarterback, and Greg Motzek is right. I think there's, you know, kind of a lack of an impact player at the inside linebacker position, albeit kudos to Jamari Lattimore. I think he's playing better than Brad Jones. I think it's an improvement. I still don't know if it's a major improvement, but hopefully the Packers defense has started to figure things out, and it just continues in that direction. You know, they're heading in the right direction based upon what we saw yesterday, but now it's got to continue with the Bears and beyond, which is where the Packers are at now. And they got to figure things out here in this stretch of the next two games against division opponents. You know, it's going to be really tough for the Packers if they lose this Bears game. No doubt about it. It's going to be tough on them. It's going to be really tough. I mean, I right now I'm wondering, you know, here's this Bears team that upset the San Francisco 49ers already. How are you going to go on the road to Soldier Field and beat this team who's got, you know, weapons in themselves like Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey? But maybe it's the Packers defense that came alive against the Lions that they're going to figure out ways to pressure Jay Cutler and be able to cover these receiving threats that the Lions have, not to mention Matt Forte out of the backfield. This is a talented Bears team, particularly on offense, where they have a lot of weapons. Little bit of a weak spot at the offensive line, and maybe that's good news for the Packers getting consistent pressure on Jay Cutler as well. But it's going to be fun. I can't wait to see this game this next week be played. Would be in a bad mood if the Packers lost, but waiting for this Packers offense to get back to what it can be and should be and has been. Yeah, I just can't figure out why the Packers offense isn't more of a threat right now. You know, it should be. There's very few excuses for it. You know, I suppose there's excuses in that, you know, there's not a lot of weapons that Aaron Rodgers trusts right now. But still, he's got two very good wide receivers, and he should be making the third and fourth and fifth targets better than what they are. That's what Aaron Rodgers should do. It'll be an interesting week. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have to answer to a lot of tough questions from the media this week. You know, I think there's a lot of pressure on him right now in that he's got to step up his play. It's been the worst stretch of Aaron Rodgers' career, I think, through three games in which he's just been, you know, it's you know, his fault for not changing to better plays at the line of scrimmage. It's his fault for having his accuracy off a little bit. You know, there's things that Aaron Rodgers has got to take some, have culpability for. It's going to be interesting this week to see how he reacts to that. You know, even, you know, I want to see how much he's distracted by, and I think this is ridiculous, by the way. I've gotten comments on Twitter, and I've seen comments from fans blaming Olivia Munn, Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend. You know, all of a sudden she was just in the Green Bay area for, what was it, a commercial shoot in the past week or two or something like that. And so people blaming Aaron Rodgers' new love interest for his struggles, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I think Packer fans that resort to that are, you know, just, you know, don't, you're better than that. Don't do it. It's senseless. That being said, I mean, there's things going on with Aaron Rodgers right now, and I don't think his love life has anything to do with it. He's struggling. You know, Aaron Rodgers deserves the criticism, and be interesting to see how he handles this criticism this week. By all means, feel free to criticize Aaron Rodgers for you know, basically subpar play, at least compared to what he's used to doing. Not that he deserves anything vulgar or, you know, anything like that, but there's no beating around the bush and recognizing play that's not up to par, not up to standard, no doubt about it. But anyway, that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on Wednesday. Hopefully you enjoyed a little bit of a therapy session here. Your call to action today, please, if you haven't done so already, please follow our guest on Twitter, Greg Motzek. Thanks to him for coming on the show. His Twitter handle is very simple, G Motzek. That's G-M-A-T-Z-E-K. Z-E-X, Z-K. I'm spelling it phonetically. But please give him a follow. We appreciate him taking the time to talk to us on the show this morning. So in a small sign of thanks, something you can do to show Cheesehead TV your appreciation for a free podcast and free content at our website, give Greg a follow and tell, by all means, please tell him that's a nice interview today on Cheesehead TV. But thanks, Dan, for joining us. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, I'm Brian Caribou. Stay tuned to all your news needs all week long at Cheesehead TV. We'll see you on Wednesday when we talk to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for our weekly Wednesday interview with him. I'll leave you today with a song called Believe the Lie by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.